Greetings, you're listening to RomComs, the podcast sharing the joy of sim racing and motorsports made by the RomRom team. Welcome, thanks for stopping by. I am Serta and I'll be the host today. On this month's episode of RomComs, we have Automobilista 2 Goes Endurance, Rennsport Goes Endurance, Le Mans Ultimate is out. How happy is Cody? What else do we have?
Oh, Cody's happy.
Cody's got something else to be happy as well.
Yes. Assetto Corsa
Evo.
And Fanatec, they're doing great, guys. They're doing fantastic.
Or something like that. Which one shall we start? Shall we start with the nice and short news of Assetto Corsa? Let's go with that.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, let's do that. So, backing up a little bit, a different but related sim, Assetto Corsa Competizione has now the Nürburgring Nordschleife. And there is in that a billboard. One little billboard.
Mm-hmm.
One small, little, insignificant billboard.
With a QR code.
That has a QR code on it.
Yeah.
And for those who are curious to scan said QR code, you will find a glorious, glorious landing page of, I believe it's assettocorsa.gg is the handle. And it has not a whole lot on it, but there is Assetto Corsa. There's tabs here. There's Assetto Corsa. There's Assetto Corsa Competizione, which we know. And there's Assetto Corsa
Evo.
And I like that name. That's a good name. So this is Assetto Corsa 2. It gets a name. It gets 2024 on the website and Assetto Corsa Evo. We don't have much.
And a link where you can put your mail address to get news.
Yes, which I have done.
of course.
And yeah, so I'm so super excited about this. It's not there's not a lot of context beyond what we've already covered about Assetto Corsa 2 in that the release date is soon, supposedly, and we've seen very little about it.
But I think it's still going to be early access, right?
Yes, yeah, it'll be early access, but Assetto Corsa, the original, was also early access for a long time, so that tracks.
And Wreckfest and Assetto Corsa Competizione, and yeah.
For sure, for sure. But yeah, it's a small thing, but Assetto Corsa 2 that you've been thinking of is now Assetto Corsa Evo. And why it's not Assetto Corsa... Oh yeah, ACE. Yeah, there you go. Why it's not Assetto Corsa 2, I actually have a theory on.
Because they cannot call that because ACC, the executable is also called AC2,
right.
And Windows would get so confused.
Precisely. Which was probably not the best forethought on their part. But hey.
Kunos and forethought don't go together too well normally.
Yeah.
So
that's
normal.
And they are calling it Evo because people that don't speak Italian already have enough problems saying competizione. If you bring them evoluzione, they're gonna be struggling.
No, you know why they can't use evoluzione? Because it's already an AC mod.
Ah, sure, absolutely, yes, absolutely.
On the basis of fair use and precedence and things like that, they can't use evoluzione. Evoluzione. So they have to use Evo.
Exactly.
They'll be very unhappy about it, but they have to. They've got no choice.
Interesting.
But yeah, we already know about ACE is that it's not going to be based in the Unreal Engine 5. Or 4, for that matter. They're going back to their own in-house engine. We hope that they're going to use the learnings and the information that they've got from ACC and their GT3 driving and the GT3 tyres, the partnerships that they've used there, to create a better handling and definitely tyre model that was very much lacking in the original Assetto Corsa and for a long time was lacking in ACC as well. Obviously, I mean, there's lots of different opinions going around as far as what the content needs to
be. The thing is, you're saying it right. Opinions. And I'm a little bit surprised that we don't have almost any information on what is going to be there. For Assetto Corsa Competizione, by this time, measured in time before the release of the sim, we already knew no mods, it's going to be GT3, blah, 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 blah. For now, like, almost nothing. They, I don't know if it's strategy. They have a new marketing director, an Italian lady, who I follow in LinkedIn, and she has not answered my messages, but it's okay. She's got other things to do, bigger channels maybe to appease. But in any case, we know diddly, and it's strange.
I wouldn't say it's strange. I think that it makes entire sense that they've got no interest whatsoever in developing any hype for the game at the moment. I think that what they want to do is, opinion, obviously.
Okay, we're in the opinion zone.
I was going to say we're in the speculation zone again. My opinion would be that what they're going to be doing with the beta release of ACE is, well, the reason why they've got this landing page is because is to get you early access to the early access, I would suggest. People who are signed up to the emails are going to be the first to get an opportunity to drive the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, beyond that, there's not a lot really that you need to tell. It's it's going to be about feel, I think, for ACE. They've proven that they can make a pretty game. They've proven that they can make a game that the SRO finds appealing. It's just a case of creating a game now that is open enough that people want to run championships in it like they have with Assetto Corsa.
I think,
and use all the learnings they've got.
Yeah. I think the bigger thing with Assetto Corsa Evo will come down to if it's open enough to be modded, because that is what has kept Assetto Corsa alive and selling, and it's still going to be a thing when ACE comes out, right? And so they're going to be competing against kind of their former selves with a whole bunch of mods built up.
Yeah.
And they've said it's going to be a new engine. It said it's going to be a new in-house engine, so it won't be an engine that is, Unreal 5 or whatever. But it also won't be the previous Assetto Corsa Kunos engine. It'll be something different. So interoperability of drag and drop one thing into another, like you could take a GTR mod into GTR 2, probably not going to be a thing.
On the other hand, Rennsport have made noises, and modders are saying that this is correct. Rennsport have made noises that their mod engine will, that modders will be able to use their modding support to translate Assetto Corsa mods into Rennsport. So if it's possible to move Assetto Corsa into Rennsport, it should, in theory, be possible to move Assetto Corsa into Assetto Corsa Evo.
It'll definitely be possible, but legwork will be required. Like, there are people who move R-Factor 2 tracks into Assetto Corsa all the time. All the time.
And the other way around.
And the other way around, yes, for sure. As well as tracks from basically any game you can think of. I've seen Forza tracks, Gran Turismo tracks. How does that work?
Much better in Assetto Corsa than Gran Turismo, obviously. The problem is not going to be, as you say, the problem is not going to be as to whether it's compatible. It's whether there's a translation layer or whether that's going to be done manually.
Yes.
The reason why Rensport is making noises about using Assetto Corsa track and car mods is because they have created... I'm going to use the example of Proton. I know it's not right, not the same, but it's, to all intents and purposes, it's the same kind of thing. Proton takes a Windows game, translates it to a language that Linux can, a Linux OS can understand, and then operates it in that Linux OS. In the same way, there's no reason why Kunos couldn't use their own in-house tools to create a translation tool where you drag your AC mod into the this tool. It goes, cool, spits out a load of information from the information that Assetto Corsa has, tire size, tire profile, things like that, and then exports it into ACE and your job done. Similar to how Content Manager unpacks everything for you now.
Yeah, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. We don't even know if it's going to support mods, which I think it would be suicide to not. But on the other hand, Assetto Corsa Competizione didn't, and it's quite successful. Not as successful as Assetto Corsa, but it's still quite successful.
Well, one interesting point perhaps in the direction of mods is that they're working with Ilya Yusupov, who is the guy...
Are they? Are you sure about that? I mean, I've heard noises, but...
That's been confirmed.
Okay. Yes.
That's already been confirmed.
Yeah. Because I was hearing noises since about middle of last year, and I consider it an excellent idea, because Ilya is an excellent developer, and he's done wonders with within the limitations of Assetto Corsa. So if it's been confirmed, more power to Ilya and more power to Kunos, because that's a match made in heaven.
Yeah, it's what we've been driving for the past few years. Yeah. Is these people are creating incredible mods that drive the game forward. It's that, again, as we were discussing before, before we started recording, I play Space Engineers, and there are people who have put mods into that game that vastly expand the usefulness of the game. Yeah. Overhauling physics, overhauling functions, overhauling AI, overhauling every single aspect of the game. And they're contracting these modders in as first-party consultants. And making them part of the original game.
It goes further than that. I know for a fact that one of the most interesting mod makers for Automobilista 2 is now part of the Reza team, like really part, not just a consultant, contractor, or whatever, but he is part of the team. And the guy who made... the Raider for Automobilista 2 was, I think, contracted, but maybe even acquired into Reza to make the Raider inside of Automobilista 2 and make a lot of other things. So yes, of course, especially within Reza, Reza started as a mod making group and then converted itself into making Copa Petrobras and whatever. And wait, Netcar, or how was it? What was it called? Was already a game, right? It was not a mod. The first thing that Kunos released.
Oh, pass.
Netcar Pro.
No idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Kunos in 2006. I think that might have been the first thing they made, yeah.
Yeah, and it was not... So they didn't start as a mod company, but as a development studio or whatever, which is neither here nor there. It's just thinking aloud. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is that... I mean, it's the problem... it's the problem with Studio 397 being taken in by MSG, how they have been, is... not contract experts haven't seen the contract, but it looks as though there's no escape for them, which is going to be frustrating. Sad. I think it's fair to say.
Speaking of which, that's a great segue into our next topic. Although, Serta, you're leading the show. So
which would be which one in your opinion?
Well, I thought we were going to mention the motorsport.
It's your
games.
Topics.
thing.
We're not going there.
We've talked about Le Mans Ultimate and Motorsport Games so many times. Let's move into another company that may be in trouble. Ike, you were talking about Fanatec.
Yes. Yeah, Fanatec's doing great, guys. There's no issues whatsoever. They've just announced and released a new CSL rig that definitely couldn't be superseded and built something a lot more sturdy in half the price by just using some aluminium profile off the shelf. Their CEO has resigned.
Resigned isn't the word, is it? He was sacked. The board terminated his contract with 2 days to go. Like on Friday, he was told to pack his things and not be there on Sunday. On the other hand, let's not forget that the CEO owns a lot of the company per se.
Right, but there's another level to this as well, which is the problem, is that the reason why the CEO has been requested to leave, it wasn't a Fanatec choice. It was the banks that have lent them money have told the board that if they want an extension on the freeze of the debt that they owe, then the CEO needs to go.
Yeah, I mean, now, we don't know exactly what the financial freeze was about, but that is
what it is. It's been looked through and read through by other sources. I went through the information available
on what they delivered. I mean, they are a public company, so they had that, and. Everywhere I looked at the wrong places, they only were talking about the financial freeze, which can mean a lot of things. And of course, it means something to have to do with the debt. But what exactly, we don't know.
Yeah. So according to what I've read, clearly I've been reading something different to you, but it's a German company, so yeah, maybe. Maybe you've got better information than I do. As far as I have seen, the impact on them not forcing their CEO to resign was that the freeze would essentially the default on the loans that they have.
Exactly. I mean, that's something that German banks are allowed to do, especially if it's not a loan per se. It's not here, you have $1 million, give it back to us within 60 months or something like that. But if it's a credit line, as they are called, which is you are allowed to overstep, I don't know, 25
it's
million
like
within exactly. Yeah. It's a little bit different than when we overdraft our accounts, but yeah, it's something similar like credit lines.
In the greater scheme of things, yeah.
And credit lines can be cut down to zero at any point if a bank wishes to do so.
Yeah, so it's for whatever reason, the banks have decided that they're very unhappy with the way that Fanatec have been conducting themselves. And,
or at least the way the CEO was conducting Fanatec.
The thing is that the CEO's control over Fanatec is, for want of a better expression, very small. It's not... It's not as though he's affecting the day-to-day. There's a lot of C-suite people underneath him who are actually in charge of that.
But those were not giving the axe, only the CEO.
Yes, because the buck stops with the CEO. He's above them all, so he may have some. He's seen as having some level of control over them, and if he's not exerting that control, that's the problem. With all of that as an aside, though, there has been. This is what I was saying. Oh, grief! Last year was one of the first things. One of the first real opinions that I gave on rom-coms was. We've been in a boom of sim racing, and Fanatec has been investing like that boom is going to go on forever. They've been investing as though they're going to capture the Formula One audience that Liberty have now seemingly captured, that
and
throw
lost.
£500 But that throw 500 pounds at a Vegas weekend,
mm-hmm.
Just for the tickets, without anything else, just for tickets, £500, which is insane to me. Anyway, they think that they're going to capture on that. They haven't followed through on their aspirations. Then they've had the obvious moving
to Landshut.
What's it? No. The reason why they had all of the delivery issues late last year was because they were moving warehouses and the inventory was being duplicated and halved at the same time as they moved between.
So they moved the like headquarters that. To Landshut.
That's it.
And I mean, part of the reason why they needed money lent was that they build up a big headquarters, which makes sense. I mean, if you're a company in growth, if you're the third biggest company delivering wheels in the world as per their own information last year, then you need something that is centralized, that is better than in the middle of nowhere as they were until now. Where you can invite people, where you can have discussions with people, where you can send the stuff within an existing infrastructure, which is what Landshut has.
Yes, but clearly they were banking on much more investment and much more sales than has come through, and with people like Moser, Camus with the new C12 as well. I'm very jealous of you being able to
don't be. Being able to review it's, that. It was worse than I expected. Sadly,
that's a shame.
Yeah, I hope that that they do a couple of firmware updates and then it's a great thing.
I was gonna say because the LP8 when I reviewed that, I mean it's I'm
which
now
is discontinued by the way.
Which is discontinued as well. That's the thing that I don't get. They've clearly seen the C5, the 6. Anyway, that's not what we're talking
about.
Yeah, that's a different. We can talk about that in a minute if you want. But the problem with Fanatec is that they have placed way too big a bet on the success of their own company, and are now seeing the kickback from the a financial system that doesn't have anywhere near as much faith in them as they do.
Although I think they are a victim of their success. I think the problem is more that they are not moving as much material as they have sold because of the whole issues with the double warehousing and all of that. Because
the
people are dropping out of their buy. Like if you pre-buy
100%.
If you pre-buy and then it takes half a year until you get it, and at the site are, as you were saying, all these Mosas, the Acetecs, the Camus, and whatever they are called, saying, "Here, I cost half of Fanatec. Come here, come now, to daddy."
I can make it even more complicated, okay?
Yeah.
Because I updated the firmware on the LP8. And for an evening, it bricked it. I got very, very, very concerned, as you can probably imagine, because it was 2 days before I was doing 8 hours of COTA, and then 2 nights before COTA, 3 nights before the 90 minutes of Suzuka for ERA. I started doing some research, as you do when you suddenly have the problem of needing to go back to a G29 or buying some new kit. Fanatec isn't even close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they aren't even close on competition. They have their startup kit, but once you go beyond the 5 Nm, they've got nothing. Moser is better value. SimMagic, now we've not heard much from SimMagic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a shame, because I will lay my cards on the table now. I want to have a go of a SimMagic wheel with the reviews that I've looked at.
I think they're going to be at the SRE this year, but I...
Yes, that's... I'm going to say I'm intending on speaking to them and putting forth a couple of arguments. But Sim Magic works out better value than Fanatec. Even if you just buy within their ecosystem, they are better value than Fanatec, which is mind-boggling. If I just wanted a wheel, right? If I just wanted a wheelbase, the Fanatec 8 Newton meter is out of stock. The CSDD12 is £850. The Sim Magic, no, the Moser 9 Newton meter, which is is £650. The Sim Magic 589. It's getting down towards You can get a 10 Newton meter Sim Magic for £589 delivered. It's mental. It's the sim racing wheelbase section of our hobby is going insane as far as competition is concerned.
And these are all DD wheels.
All
of
these DD. Yeah. No. We aren't talking about any belt driven, cog driven, apart from the G29, obviously. But there is nothing here that's not direct drive. It's all direct drive, and it's all better value than the Fanatec ecosystem. Yep. And that's, I think, part of where this whole issue has come from, is that, and again, the Fanatec buying their new headquarters, fine, understandable, totally get it. Fanatec sponsoring GT World Challenge, not a necessary expense, and not a small expense as well.
Or co-financing, what was the movie again, Gran Turismo?
Oh, blinking the Gran Turismo movie. Yeah, let's not talk about that either.
Good movie,
but like,
though.
There's been a lot of unnecessary expense. There's been a lot of, I mean, we've discussed this before in private conversations, that what they're spending money on doesn't make any sense in the greater scheme of things. Because Moser is eating up their market share by word of mouth.
Yeah. So
they have zero advertising.
They have pressure from below, from the Mosers and Simagics, and even at some point Camus. They have pressure from above, from the Simu Cubes and Acetecs, and I would gather the opinion that Acetec is doing a very intelligent concept. They are growing in a very clever way, and they are in between and spending money in the Gran Turismo movie, having every year a new PR person, which does not help in communicating with media, having a big booth at the Sim Racing Expo with nothing new to show.
It was
because to be fair,
things. Yeah.
To be fair, they did have the DD12 and the DD plus, the CSDD plus, but there was no real.
That's nothing new. That's just tweaking what you have. Sorry.
Well, no, they are different motors. They are bigger motors. They are bigger. They are, to be fair, different. However. They had an Aston Martin Valkyrie.
Mm-hmm.
They had an exploded CSDD in glass, and nothing else pointing you to that there was anything else going on.
Yeah,
like we went. Well, Cody and I went on to one of the CSL DDs, thinking, oh, it's the same as all the others, and it was only after the event that I was told. And again, I spoke to a Fanatec rep and was like, what have you got to show us? And he was silent, had no idea what was going on.
And then you have the issues with after sales support. Like they don't break the level of Fanatec's breaking is not high, but the problem is everyone that breaks, you're gonna wait months for them to react. The amount of people who have come to me telling me, Sub Rosa, I'm already waiting for the second month that they even react to my mail other than telling me, oh, we are sorry, we've received your mail, we'll be talking to you soon, is a mind-boggling. I mean, the other companies may have that, but I don't hear it. And and then they have the problems of people ordering and then waiting half a year until they get it. So it's a compound issue, and it may be different, as you said, different C people, like the COO maybe not being able to deliver the stuff or to make it move. But at the end of the day, they spend money on Gran Turismo and not on customer support.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's essentially what we're saying is that the money's being spent in the wrong place. And the buck has to stop somewhere. And if you're going to take home the big bucks, you're going to have to take on the responsibility as well, and that's what's happened here.
Yeah.
I think that there isn't enough money left to dig Fanatec out of the hole that they're in. This is my opinion. What is mine, and I have nothing else but a hunch and historical information to go off.
So having seen the financials of last year, they are a public company. They have to produce that and so on. Having seen the financials of last year, they're not in a bad place. They are the third biggest company selling wheels after Thrustmaster and Logitech. Imagine, Thrustmaster and Logitech are still selling more than the other companies. Which boggles my mind, because the Thrustmaster and Logitech DDs are nothing to be happy about. They are overpriced and mediocre.
Well, the Logitech wasn't. I will say that it was it's a lot of money, but I wouldn't say it's overpriced. Even actually, how much is it now?
It was really good, yeah.
A thousand?
Yeah, that's the. Hang on.
I mean, I'm speaking euro.
Yeah, they're still 1,000. Yeah, they're still £1,000. But it is wheel, pedals, and not shifter. Wheel and pedals, and it's a load cell pedal.
Okay.
So, yeah. And it is an 11 newton meter wheel. Whereas the T818, if I remember correctly, was significantly less.
No, 800, if I remember correctly.
No, as in the torque output.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, £800 and 600 directly from Thrustmaster. I can't remember the torque output now, good grief. But I think it was
something between 8 and 10 newton meter, but I would have to look it up.
10 newton meter.
Oh, see.
It's 10 newton meter. So the Thrustmaster technically is in the ballpark for value, but there's no ecosystem to go with it. The Logitech, really, really cool quick release. Great quick release. Really nice built, stuck in the theme of Logitech with their wheelbases and that sort of thing. Looked really nice. Did the job. A little bit expensive, but there's no follow-up.
Yeah, and on the other side, you have the Moses and Simagics. But
exactly.
going back to what you were saying, that the banks saw exactly, there is value here. They have stock. They just have to move it fast enough. And when the stock, when the product doesn't sell, stop ruining your image with no reaction, because it ruins the image. I mean, I don't have to say anything in a conversation between other people talking about, I want a new wheel, and one of them says, what about these Fanatecs? Somebody else is going to say, yeah, but I've heard that the after-sales support, if you get into trouble, is not good. Whoa.
It's not bad. Yeah.
So maybe the others are as bad, but you don't hear anything about that, and that ruins the image, and of course stops people from buying the stuff. But going back, from what I saw in the financials, I'm not a financial genius by any mean of the word. I've sold a couple of the companies that I build up to acceptable profit and whatnot, but still, from what I saw, it's it's a healthy company that it found a bump in the road, and it needs a different direction, which is what I think the banks clearly said. Like, you need a different direction, and the best way to have it is get a new CEO. By the way, it's over a week, and we haven't heard about anything about a new CEO.
No, no. Well, that's the thing is, maybe there won't be. Maybe that's what the...
Huh?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
You need,
either way,
you need, you need, they didn't say... There's no name. There was no name named. It was just said we're getting rid of Thomas Jacamaya as a CEO, but they didn't say in the interim or whatever. Nobody is CEO at the moment, as Thomas Jacamaya was sacked as per the 31st or 30th even. Exactly, on the 28th the press release came out and they said in 2 days he's out. So it was the 30th of March. So even on the 31st of March he wasn't CEO anymore. And
I'll throw them my CV.
Well, why not? And as for as of today, which is the 6th of April, a week later, we haven't heard that they have a new CEO, and maybe the board of directors are discussing with the banks who is going to be CEO, because if the banks have the power to axe the CEO, they very much have acquired the power to say, either say who's going to be the new CEO, or take a look at the recommendations from the board of directors and choose the one they feel most comfortable with.
Yeah, and that would make the most sense for it to be a collaborative effort, basically.
Let's call it collaborative, yes.
Yeah. Collaborative. There is collaboration.
More, well, it's more like bent over a table.
There is collaboration.
That's collaborative in some sense of the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's cooperation going on, I would suggest. Again, I don't think that this is by any means the end for Fanatec, but it's good grief, there's a risk. There's a serious risk, and they're playing their cards very, very precariously, let's say. We'll just see where it goes.
Let's see who the new CEO is, where that person comes from. Sim racing ecosystem is not big, so I expect somebody to come from outside of that, but we'll see. Yep. And let's see what the first 100 days of the new CEO are going to be, and what direction Fanatec is going to take from there.
We'll link in very quickly to the LMU
Motorsport thing. Games thing.
Yeah. To the motorsport things on the way to your
So Dimitri Kosko is going to be the new CEO of Fanatec.
Fanatec. Oh, clearly. Yeah, no, he's the clear front runner. He definitely won't run
available.
Fanatec into the ground.
Yeah, true.
Just because there's availability doesn't mean it's a good idea. The situation with MSG continues to get worse and worse. The release of LMU to the mixed reviews and generally positive reviews that it got was the slowing of a sinking ship, but it's still a sinking ship. What do we do? What do we do? What can you do at this point? The management S397 to my mind has proven time and time again that they can't build a new sim. All they can do is work within the limits of what the R Factor 2 engine gives them.
And even that was made by ISI.
Exactly. Well, no. But essentially, what they're doing is they're tweaking the R Factor 2, the ISI engine through R Factor 2, and they've given it a new look of paint.
Yeah.
Basically, none of the things that were promised were delivered in the initial release. And much like R Factor 2, the majority of the comments that I have heard and seen and spoken to about is once you get past the menus, if you can get to track, it's the best thing bar none. No, duh, that's what R Factor 2 was.
Well, Cody was saying different things in the video, but let's skip that. We've talked more than enough about that.
Yeah.
So,
but what we haven't spoken about is endurance.
Okay. So moving on to my point, Automobilista 2 last year said, okay, we're releasing Le Mans, and with Le Mans, we're gonna go endurance. We're giving you cars that drive endurance, and then a couple of weeks ago, they dropped the bomb. They're going in partnership with IMSA. So that's interesting because that's a big partnership. They have said they want to have the IMSA 2024, at least the endurance part of IMSA 2024, over a certain period of time inside of Automobilista 2, which means all cars and tracks. IMSA does not own any tracks, does not own any team. It's not IndyCar with Penske. So what Reza now has is a foot in the door of many companies and many licensors, which is a great thing. Don't get me wrong. And it's Reza. I do think that Reza are one of the most interesting companies out there. Now that's one. We can go Automobilista too, but the other is Rennsport. In the last town hall, said they were moving endurance. They have a day and night cycle now. For now, only in Spa, but they have a day and a night cycle. They want to release GT4s in one of the next releases. I think Q2. They need to there is a lot that they need to do for sure, and they know themselves and they have said themselves. Pit stops are still not there. With pit stops comes also driver swaps. They haven't said a word about that, but they said they're going endurance. Le Mans Ultimate came out, which is Le Mans Ultimate. They have the license from the WEC, the whole license from the WEC, not only Le Mans, but the whole season, if they want. So it seems that the next big thing in sim racing, for whatever reason, maybe because it's the last thing that is still up to grabs, or because there is an uptick in players, I don't know, seems to be endurance.
The reason why is because hypercar, the convergence regulations on the highest tier of endurance racing, has captured the imagination of racing fans.
Mm-hmm, that,
the 499, the 9X8, the 963, the Cadillac, I can't remember the name of that, Cadillac V-Series hybrid. Yes, yeah. Thank you. And the AXR06. Far and away...
Yeah,
absolutely captured. Go on.
Go ahead. Before we go there, let's not forget we have our own endurance race, or not our own endurance race, but a very important endurance race on the 20th of April. You're hearing this before the endurance race. We are going to commentate a race with, for now, 52 teams driving 6 hours in Spa for a Dean to kick cancer in the lower region and to give Dean a wonderful goodbye, because that's what we were asked to do. So we're commentating. 52 teams are participating. You could be part of the 53rd team. We have place for 80 teams, 80, 8 and 0. So if you want to drive for Dave and kick cancer in the lower region, the link is gonna be in the description of this podcast, because it's a fantastic idea and the best way to say, Dean, we love you, mate.
To give the full background, Dean Hyde is a driver at ERA as well as a few other communities. Obviously ERA somewhere where I race and try and help out when I can.
Automobilista 2 Community Cup, if you have heard about Metz, Dean is in Metz team.
Yes, but basically Dean has had at least 3 different types of cancer in his life. This one is in his brain, and it is terminal. There's nothing that he can do about it. There's nothing that we can do about it. But what we can do is celebrate his life, celebrate his everything that he's done, and the fact that he made it this far, and hopefully raise some money for charity in the process. If I remember correctly, there's already been some donations.
Oh yeah, £411 we have already from. I was very conservative. I'm German, sue me. And put a goal of £100, and the first moment that we gave away the link, people were already dropping money, and we went to 300. So I said, okay, let's move it to 1,000. Or no, I think Dean said, let's move it to 1,000. And we did so. And we're going to move the goalpost in the latest in the race if the 1,000 are reached. Is Macmillan Cancer Support, which are, as far as I'm told, a fantastic group. Dean has had to do with them, and he said, can we please gather some money for those, which is what we're going to do.
I can actually give some background on Macmillan as well, because they're someone that I deal with in my day job. They're a very specific cancer support charity. They will give people who give them a call a caseworker, much like Citizens Advice Bureau and places like that in the UK, who will look after them, help them apply for benefits where it's applicable, help them get access to healthcare and the very best that both the NHS and private can offer. They're absolutely fantastic. I have had conversations with them as part of my work, dealing with vulnerable people who are obviously suffering with cancer. And I can't say thank you enough to anyone who is involved with them at all for the hard work that you all put in, because it's not about end of life care until it is.
Yeah.
Like, they will do everything they possibly can and pull all of the strings that they possibly can within the NHS, within the government, that Macmillan have organized hearings in Parliament before to get cancer treatments put onto the NHS, because the people that they look after, the people that they care for, need those treatments. So they're an absolutely brilliant charity in the UK. Majority of their work is done entirely by volunteers, and yeah, they're well worth. I didn't actually know it was for Macmillan, so
yeah,
it's good to know that it's going to a very well renowned charity as well.
One last word. The race will start, we hope, we expect. At least our broadcast will start at 18:30 CET. I don't know what time that is in US, like 9 or 10 in the morning? Something like that?
No, it's not that bad.
Whatever.
It's in...
And...
2 hours. It's an hour's time.
Yeah.
So...
And...
So, yes, that would be 6:30 p.m. So that's 11:30 a.m. Central Time. So middle of the U.S., 11:30 a.m.
So a good time also for the Americas to join us, join driving or join watching and collecting donations for a fantastic charity, and giving Dean the goodbye that he very well deserves, which is sim racing, because he's loved sim racing for so much time. Going back to what we were talking, a bit more lighthearted, endurance seems to be the thing, and I'm pretty sure Cody has a lot to say about that.
I do, certainly in terms of I like it. I like the direction of things. we were talking about Ike, you mentioned how, you know, hypercar has captured the world's focus, right? Before this current era, it was GT3 racing was what captured the world's focus, and so we got ACC. every sim got GT3 cars. Every real life racing thing got GT3 cars. But now we're seeing this move towards, not away from, but in addition to, we're seeing this move towards hypercars, and those are by nature endurance focused. They are designed to do a 24-hour race. And so, of course, these sims want to have access to this, because it's a big cultural phenomenon in the racing world. But if you have a Cadillac V-Series R and the most that your sim can do is, you know, 4 hours of racing, and you can't do driver swaps or anything like that, hello.
Automobilista 2?
yeah, and Automobilista 2.
And LMH.
Currently. But yeah, anyways, so all of that to say that there is a renewed focus on endurance racing. It used to be a pretty big thing. You think about GTR2 comes to mind. And
Oh yeah. In GTR2 you could save the your place in the race and continue your endurance race whenever you had the time. And yes, and, yeah, and see your motor blow up 1 hour before the end of the 12 hours.
Yeah. You could be your own co-driver that way. It was awesome. But yeah, so we're seeing a focus like come back to that, which as a endurance racing fanatic is, woo, that's awesome. yeah, we're seeing different approaches. Of course, we've talked about Le Mans Ultimate, Motorsport Games. I've shared my experiences with that at length. But, you know, that is a dedicated endurance racing sim that has come out that theoretically allows you to drive a full 24 hours if it doesn't crash. And so, you know, that's really cool. Like, the fact that we got that at all, it's a shame that it has, you know, Motorsport Games attached to it. But, you know, by itself, as a product by itself, and there are people who better than I are enjoying it, that's awesome. And if... hopefully, it gets to a point where my rig can run it with some consistency. I'm going to be on that a lot, for sure. But we're seeing a lot of new sims and existing sims get content around endurance racing, which is really cool. One of the big ones, Rennsport. They get the day and night cycle, Spa. Also, there is word that in some internal beta stuff, there's Daytona as well.
Oh, there is. So there is Daytona already in Rennsport, but
yes. Yep.
They don't have the oval yet available. But internally, they already have it. So they have, at the moment, Rennsport does not support different configurations of a track. It's something that they are working on. I mean, on a blank slate like Rennsport, you have people working on almost everything, which is normal. And they have people working on different, on making different configurations of the tracks available. And Daytona is one that they set in the town hall, in their version, the latest version of the town hall, that they are already using internally.
Yes. And they've announced it. We're talking about Rennsport with endurance, and we know that this is a thing that they're working on because they've released their roadmap for 2024. Q1 is the hilariously pathetic thing to spend your entire Q1 talking about, which is time trials. Cool. But Q4 endurance is a big thing, and they say date and content to be announced. So what exactly that looks like, we're not sure yet. But hey, Rennsport has their eye on endurance, which of course in my eyes is the right focus. And then of course we have the IMSA Automobilista news. Like that's three sims converging on endurance, and of course Assetto Corsa Evo is kind of a black box in terms of content and all that, but if you know kind of the world at large is anything to go off of, and the fact that The original Assetto Corsa had a lot of the top class LMP1 machinery at the time, a lot of the top class GTE machinery at the time. That's a good sign, or at least that's, you know, past performance, not quite indicative, yeah, but maybe suggestive of future results there.
That's probably the biggest question that I have is the main point of endurance is obviously driver swaps, driving into the night, driving in different mm-hmm. weathers, things mm-hmm. like that. Now, AMS2 does one of those things at the moment. Where are the other two going to come from? That's my biggest question.
Well, I mean, they have pit stops already. They are working very hard on multiplayer. They had a call for people to help them in multiplayer testing a couple of weeks ago. And they even went as far as saying, you're going to get a complete key for everything, like the paddock key, for everything that Automobilista 2 has and everything that we will publish if you participate regularly in our multiplayer races to help us test multiplayer, like in the multiplayer beta testing. So that's
announced
in our news, for example.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that bit.
So yeah,
I've been, as you can probably tell, not well.
They have been working for the whole of 2023 very hard on multiplayer, but now that they're going endurance, they are working even harder. And they do know the issues that they have, because that's something that I've discussed with the devs many times, and they have told me, tell me something I don't know, but this code can sometimes be quite frustrating, because they are working, as we know, with the Madness engine, and they have done miracles with the Madness engine, and I'm pretty sure they're going to do, again, miracles with the Madness engine, but multiplayer seems to be quite a complex thing, where I've told them time and time again, look, if you're running all the time against the wall and cannot make a hole, maybe you need to build a door, by which I mean, if you are working with this code and this code doesn't support multiplayer, maybe you need to redo completely the multiplayer code and just add it to that. But okay, that's their decision. They have a better look on the code that I will ever had, and a better understanding of the code that I will ever had. In any case, they are working multiplayer. They need to have a sim that is able to withstand 24 hours of multiplayer on a server without croaking, which is already a big thing.
And more than 28 players.
Exactly, absolutely. Although 28 cars on track is already quite good, but I agree. They don't have to go 80 like Assetto Corsa Competizione, because wow, but yeah, they need to at least double the number of drivers that they support.
They do, because they have the Nordschleifer. They have the full.
They have the
what is the full Nordschleifer? Because the Nordschleifer is just the northern loop.
It's the Gesamtschleife, it's called. And it's there was the Südschleife, which is not used anymore and is come into disrepair and disarray, but it existed.
Yep.
And for a long time the Nürburgring was Nürburgring and what is now called Nordschleife. I mean, the part where Niki Lauda had his accident was in the Nordschleife. It was not in the Nürburgring. But at some point they divided that and made the track smaller, which is the now Nürburgring. But they have a part in the north, the north Schleife.
Yes,
northern loop, and they had a part in the south, the Südschleife, the southern loop. And yes, Automobilista Reza, because they are the nerds that they are, just said, hey, we have the Nordschleife and we came about the data for the Südschleife. Let's build the Gesamtschleife and let's give people the whole shebang.
The point being, that we've just had the first round of the NLS Championship, where they have 153 cars.
Yikes.
80 is not as high as AMS2 needs to go. Mm. They need to get to at least 120, at least 120.
Mm. Yikes.
Because yeah. if they can't do that, there's no point.
And you don't have driver swaps. They well, you
that, no, that too. 100%, yeah. They need to get the multiplayer to the stage where it can take 100 people. They need to get it to the point where you can do driver
100
swaps.
100 cars. Because people, yeah, it's going to be cars. More if you
well,
have driver swaps.
Yeah, it's going to be 200, yeah.
Cody.
Go on, Cody.
I have a surprise topic for you guys.
Yay!
This is something that was actually just announced as we were recording this.
Yep.
But, yeah, Moser Racing is partnering with Lamborghini.
Okay.
It is not.
Oh,
well.
No!
Yeah, so...
Oh, Christian's going to be insufferable.
Oh boy. okay, I was like, where are you going with that? But okay.
He's a Moser fan with...
He's a Moser fanboy and he's a Lamborghini fanboy.
Oh, my God.
So he's going to love that.
He's
going to be unbearable.
He's already saying, shut up and take my money.
Oh, I'm telling him to shut up before he says anything.
So... The thing that they are announcing here, from what I'm seeing, is, for us, not much. It's really Moza partnering with Lamborghini for, like, Lamborghini's drivers are going to use Moza equipment. Cool.
Yeah.
But okay. Here's the thing. Moza, right now, doesn't have any licensed wheels.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's not their bread and butter. But you know whose bread and butter it is? Fanatec.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
BMW, Bentley.
And so
yep.
The fact that they haven't announced a wheel with this, just to be clear, but the fact that Moser Racing is interacting with automakers means that maybe they will get that. And I know for some people, having a specific wheel is a thing that they're really into. And so this might get eyes on... You know, Moser a bit more.
Also, if anyone from Moser is actually watching, I've heard rumors that you guys have a USB pass-through, similar to what Acertec does. Email us, leave a comment, anything, don't care. I'm very much in the camp of openness is better. If we can prove that there is that openness there in your ecosystem, you will get nothing but praise from me, much like Acertec has.
By the way, this comes so it's them, it's the Lamborghini drivers officially using Moser stuff.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a partnership that we've seen many times. Like I think Williams and Track Racer have a partnership that is similar.
Alpine,
thank you. But Williams has a partnership with some. I don't remember.
Aha, that's the.
In any case, so that's something that we've seen. But it's interesting because I think Moza is the first of the Chinese companies that goes that direction. But does it?
At least
I suppose
with a license.
Yeah. Does it make...
They're with Fanatec.
Ah, okay.
And Wiskenveld.
Okay. Thing is, does it make a lot... I don't think it makes a lot of money, but does it make a lot of image? Like, oh yeah, BMW and Fanatec, Alpine and Track Racer, Lamborghini and Moza. Does it really... I mean, for me, I don't care a bit. I mean, Thrustmaster and Ferrari. Yeah, okay, so what?
We got the answer from SimRep at SFE.
Mm-hmm.
What the sim racing, what these partnerships do is they take the weight off of the automakers for making reliable electronics to put in their steering wheels. How many times have we seen Ferrari F1... Ferrari, silly me. How many times have we seen F1 teams have to just put a whole new wheel in because that's the thing that has screwed up the entire car.
Like, okay, that's for, the problem. For a company,
automakers aren't sim racers. They aren't programmers. They aren't like they are there to create hardware. Basically.
Okay, but for a company so like SimRep, dies, who are engineers, that they are approached in that direction, I do understand, because they are engineers. They're excellent engineers. They are engineering geeks. They love every button and every resistor that they put in those things.
That's why I like
exactly. That's why you guys go like bread and butter.
That's why we get on so well, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Moza are not the most engineering complex company out there. So is that what Lamborghini is getting out of that?
Well, that's the other question, is how much have we spoken to Moza?
Not much at all.
How much have they put a public face forward? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, 100%. No, 100%. It's not for lack of trying. But they don't seem to be a very public company.
Mm-hmm.
It might be that they are as engaged in what they're doing as people like SimRep are.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep themselves to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Two Italian companies, two Italian brands working together, if... Let's assume that Moza have exactly. Let's assume that Moza have the passion that SimRep has.
Moza is an Italian company.
Yeah,
I thought they were Chinese, but
yeah,
no.
Are you sure about that? And by the way, Lamborghini is an Italian brand, but not an Italian company.
Italian brand. We don't care. It doesn't matter.
It's the Germans who own Lamborghini.
Which national anthem will play if a Lamborghini wins the race?
I don't know, because I don't listen to that stuff anyway.
It's the Italian one.
Okay.
No, Moza are an Italian brand, much like Lamborghini are an Italian brand.
Okay.
There is a lot of synergy there, and assuming that Moza can give the produce the goods, Lamborghini is going to come out like a thief. I can't remember the expression now. Wow. That's it, mate. That's the perfect. Thank you. They're going to make out like a bandit with this, because they get to offload all of their all of the complex stuff onto Moza, and just all they have to do is lend their brand strength to a sim racing company, which is, in the greater scheme of things, not a lot. They're not the first company to do it.
Which, if true, comes back to what I said after the Sim Formula Europe. Remember that I said we have seen a lot of motorsport companies going to sim racing, like it happened with Eau Rouge, like it happened with Cube Controls, like it happened with SimRep. Like they are going
GSI
there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well. There is, as we said after the
Sim Formula
after the Sim Formula Europe, there is not a company that isn't working with a real world manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist anymore, because the real world manufacturers have realized how much that sim racing has to offer. Like, ours is the only hobby where you can sit in your cockpit at home and then take the skills that you learn there and put it directly into a car.
Yeah,
and with the engagement that we're seeing between manufacturers and sim racing OEMs, you can take your wheel now and take all of that. Hang on.
Yeah.
He's phasing out of existence.
Yeah, exactly.
I know! There we go. I could take this wheel and put it into my racing car, and all of the muscle memory that I have learned from my hours of sim racing on it is done.
Sim racing is the hobby where you can drive up to 4 a.m. local time on iRacing and then go and win your Formula One race.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
car helps there.
Max Verstappen is not my favorite driver, but he pulls stuff like that. Like he races with his buddies on iRacing until 4 a.m. and then goes and says, well, okay, now I have a Formula One race to win at the end of the day. Funny.
I heard someone put it somewhere that Max Verstappen does F1 to afford his real job sim racing.
That's it.
Well, it's similar to me. I do my real job to afford sim racing, and buying all the stuff for the videos. Ugh. Yeah. So Cody, you found out a little bit more about Moza.
Yeah, I actually did a little bit of a deep dive, and I'm learning this. They are definitely Chinese. We had the question earlier. But so they have their sim racing equipment. They also make gimbals, which is interestingly enough.
Yeah, I have one.
You have a Moza gimbal?
Oh, okay. I have a Moza gimbal.
I had no idea.
I have a Moza app as well.
But it's similar to many Chinese or Korean companies who build everything and anything. If the partnership is here, we're Moza, we're setting up your stuff like the Lamborghini stuff so that it feels like Lamborghini, it makes a lot of sense. Cody?
I know why they'd be in Italy, because they would ship their stuff from China through the Suez Canal to the Mediterranean.
Okay.
That would make sense.
Yeah, but they could also land in Marseille or in Barcelona. But yes, okay, it's one of the possibilities.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now where the heck I got it being Italian from now. Probably
because
from
of
Christian.
Because of the name?
I don't know the root of the of Moza.
Moza. I don't know.
Mozza. Very, very Italian. I'm going to stop now.
Before you get into trouble.
It's okay. It's before I push Cody to get into trouble. But yeah, the partnership absolutely makes sense. And again, it's a pattern that we've seen throughout the sim racing sphere. Or racing in general, the amount of times that we have now seen, I mean, we're seeing Camus on race cars, for goodness sake, let alone any of the other more established names. So it's no surprise whatsoever to hear Moza partnering with Lamborghini. They've probably sponsored them for ages somewhere on the car that I've not noticed, but I'll go and ask Fengold later on and he'll say, oh yeah, it's been on the car for ages, that's why it's here.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Yeah, so is what it is. These partnerships are coming. They're always going to be coming. And I think that's, in reality, the isolationism and the walled garden-ness. Yeah, okay. Of Fanatec. I know it's not English. That was the point. I was applying German logic to English words. The walled garden that Fanatec has set up, and how they're being so very Apple about their approach to sim racing. It makes no sense. It never has made any sense, but it makes even less sense now when you've got people who are creating equipment that goes from car to sim rig and back again. It makes zero sense for them to. And I mean, we've not even spoken about Track Racer. Who are bringing a whole slew of things to market.
I'm waiting for that. I'm watching. Every week I'm looking into the website and saying, where is the new thing coming? And I've sent I've already sent a couple of emails saying, guys, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? We want to know. We want to see. We want to feel.
I need that sequential shifter. It's so good. Mm-hmm. It's so good. I need a proper rig first, but
so you know who is a company known for developing good rigs? Track Racer.
Not Fanatec.
Track Racer.
Yeah. Yes, it is Track Racer.
But yeah,
and they use aluminium profile.
True. Yeah. Also, Sabelt out of nowhere. That just came to my mind.
Well, they started last year, but yeah.
Yeah, I need that formula seat that they have. That's beautiful. That is.
I will say, frankly, I'm coming from an Obato Ozone, so you know, the bar's on the floor in terms of seat comfort. but that GT seat that Sabelt had was the best seat that I've sat in.
By the way, have you taken a look at the seat that the CSLDD cockpit is gonna come with? Yikes! It's costing you extra. The rig costs €400 USD, if I remember correctly, and then you have to pay for the seat. If you're paying for that seat, I'm sorry for you. Get a good seat. Yeah, exactly. Get a good seat.
This is what I've been so there is a to-do list at the moment. I have a very long to-do list. It's a nightmare. One of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to take the folding rig that I have and turn it ostensibly into a more rigid rig using aluminium profile. And the amount of research that I've had to do into aluminium profiles and things like that, and what's the best cross-section and what's the cheapest I can do it and that sort of thing, it's an absolute rabbit hole that you can you can really dig into.
Just Google aluminium extrusion for sim racing and you can spend the week reading stuff.
Oh, no. Exactly. Just search aluminium extrusions. Like the one that I've got my eye on most. The one I've got my eye on most at the moment is they do 30x80, so it's 30mm thick, just over an inch for the Americans, by 80, which is 3 inches. So it's an inch by 3 inch, slightly more than that. But the rigidity you're going to get from just that, and you can get to 3 meter lengths of that for £30. Why is this rig 400?
But Cody, you want it? Yeah, go ahead.
There is this rig is so cheaply made.
Yeah,
that it is only made out of poles, circular poles, and flat just cut pieces of steel, not even bent anywhere.
Nope.
Like they did not even take the expense to bend a single thing to make it, you know, stronger, like an I-beam.
This is why I was taking the mick out of them at the outset of the show.
I looked at a thumbnail for this and I was like, oh, okay, that's a okay. I'm looking at more, and the more I look at it, the less sense it makes
the more it hurts.
To me.
And they say it's gonna withstand 25 newton meter torque. Okay, I have to take their word for it, but my feeling after taking a look at that is no way, Jose.
It's being held on by two bolts. The wheel stand is being held on. You've got the four bolts that are going into the side of the CS. And then there is one bolt holding that to the rest of the rig. I don't understand. I mean, the seating position looks great. Don't get me wrong. The seating position looks fantastic
get a good seat and not the Fanatic seat.
Yeah. I mean, at least you have a headrest on this. I don't. But there's so many things that don't make any sense with this. But I think that sums up Fanatec at the moment.
Rumcoms, not making sense of sim racing since the last year. Wait, no. I think that should not be our claim.
We make sense of the majority of sim racing, but the majority of sim racing isn't this desperate.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other word for it. Because as Cody said, there's nothing attaching the two sides of where the seat goes, apart from where the seat is. There's nothing reinforcing where the pedals go. I could pick this apart from, and again, I have a mechanical engineer friend who looked at this and laughed.
Exactly.
So, enough said. It's again. I don't want to
In any case, we've been picking apart lots of sim racing from the last month. Any famous last words? Any quick one that you want to drop, Cody?
Well, endurance. I'm very excited for IMSA in anything officially. That's going to be awesome.
Ike?
Always remember to be excellent to each other. Just because you should be kind to everyone doesn't mean that you can't tell people that they're wrong. Fanatec, you're wrong.
The most important kindness is being kind and telling people that they are wrong.
Absolutely. People should want to be and do better. And if they don't want to be and do better, then they aren't worth your time.
So that means tell people they're wrong every turn, courtesy of
no.
Ike.
But
I mean, only on the Nordschleifer, but that's probably because they are wrong.
All right, I gotta say, I'm excited about about what Automobilista 2 may become in the future. I'm excited about what Fanatec may become in the future. And I am hoping beyond hope that Le Mans Ultimate gets the months that it needs, because the numbers of motorsport games don't look good. But I'm with you.
Serta, what's your question?
I haven't thought of one because nobody answered our question last month. And truth to be told, I'm all out of good questions. We've had tons of good questions in the last year, so maybe I'll come up with one after we record the podcast. Cody has one
on the screen now.
I've got one. I've got one. What is your favorite livery in racing history?
Ooh.
Okay. I'm not such a geek of liveries, so I would have to look it up, so I have no idea.
So that I have
my favorite, so to speak, because it's the one that comes to mind more strongly, is the Martini livery. I like the combination of colors, that white, blue, and red. Those specific tones of white, blue, and red. Yeah, of course you're going with McLaren. Of course you're going with McLaren.
No. It's gold colors.
That's a good one. That's a good
golf
one.
Livery. But I made. This is my.
But those were the McLaren colors for centuries, so to speak. No, but for a long time.
Yeah. This is my interpretation of a golf livery on a McLaren 720S. With oh no, I need to go this way. Look, you don't have to have the whole thing black. It's great.
And Cody is now running to his favorite car model with his favorite livery. Because when you have 10,000 models,
yes,
I was saying, when you have 10,000 models, of course you have the model with the right livery.
Yes,
where's the grandma?
Actually, so this is my favorite.
BMW.
I've knocked the mic down, but this is my favorite. Alexander Calder BMW Art Car. This raced in the 1976 24 Hours of Le Mans, and it is a livery custom made by Alexander Calder and hand painted by him and his team. And this model, which I'm holding precariously with one hand, I acquired for a very large sum of money. So I'm going to set this down and put this on.
This is the reason why we have to go this long, is so that Cody and I just completely lose it.
Absolutely.
Is that the car you were drooling about on the BMW museum a couple of years ago when we went there? Or was it another car?
No, that was a different one, wasn't it?
It was another. Well, there was a BMW 3.0 CSL on the floor there that I was drooling over. But that one was BMW liveried.
But the lady in the BMW museum was so extremely nice. She opened the front and the back so that we could have a good look at the car. And you can imagine that Cody's, like, his bucket list got reduced by 25 issues.
It was that trip was amazing. I also saw two BMW M1 Pro cars there as well, and the it's another BMW art car, of course it is. Andy Warhol BMW.
Oh yeah,
M1
that's the one I was looking for. That's the one I was looking for.
Amazing, amazing.
Yes.
And if anyone is selling a model of that BMW M1, contact me directly. I will pay pretty much any price.
There is not enough money in the world.
So I love that one. It's even my lock screen on my phone. So.
So with these famous last words, subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And thank you very much to our patrons for supporting us. You can become a patron at patreon.com/romrom. And until next time, save fuel, collect pickup, and we'll see each other at the podium.
Bye.
Bye.